ABC AFL Daily is the best conversation in footy. Hosted by Corbin Middlemass and Ben Cameron, alongside regulars like Mick Malthouse.
I mean, I don't remember too many games, but it's one of the ones I remembered. It was just that physical.
Bob Murphy.
Where do you guys get off thinking you can pick and choose?
And more, it keeps you in the loop with the biggest stories in the AFL and the number one analysis in the game. ABC AFL Daily, 5 eps a week on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
To send Egypt through, and he does. Heartbreak for Australia. Jubilation for those in red. The Socceroos' brave run at the 2026 FIFA World Cup has come to an end.
Ouch. There are few things more cruel than losing on penalties, especially so at a Football World Cup. Australia back to earth. The Socceroos out as Egypt rolls on. A shock decision to sub in Matt Ryan for the earlier impeccable Patrick Beach in goal was a huge talking point as a World Cup knockout win continues to evade Australia. The Socceroos had their chances. They just couldn't quite grasp them. Let's dive into what went wrong and what comes next. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily World Cup Special. Daniel Garb covers football for the ABC. He's been at this World Cup. Here's the deal today. We're going to have two episodes. One with Garby right now, breaking down what we just all saw. And then Mark Schwarzer will give us his analysis later in the day once his commentary commitments are done. Garby, emotion, then analysis. Sum up how Australian fans all around this country are feeling right now.
Utterly devastated. Yeah, that's heartbreaking. It really is. When you're on the wrong side of a penalty loss, it's hard to take. We've been on the other side before and had the ultimate euphoria that you can enjoy in sport, and now it's gut-wrenching. Because that was the chance. That was a really big opportunity to win a knockout game at a World Cup for the first time. We had the better of Egypt for long periods of that contest. Yes, we had to hang on at other stages, and Paddy Beach makes an enormous save, you know, just before it goes to extra time. And then, you know, it comes down to pens, and yeah, there's some selections there that people will be asking questions about, the goalkeeping change, a couple of takers, but ultimately it didn't go our way. And yeah, it's the worst of it, because that was the opportunity for us. That was a huge chance to win a knockout game and march on. But now we're zipping three in knockouts in World Cup history. And this was the opponent, though, that we could have taken advantage of. And on the balance of play, perhaps we should have. So very hard to take right now.
Let's start with the end, the penalties. And the huge talking point was Matt Ryan pulled in for Patrick Beach in the 120th minute.
Matty Ryan on for the remaining minutes and a possible penalty shootout.
Shades of Andrew Redmayne, the grey wiggle. How do you reflect on it? He couldn't make a save. It's not to say that Patrick Beach might have, but you can't not be drawn to it.
Yeah, when it doesn't work out, you're open to criticism. When it does, it's, you know, the greatest coaching move ever, as it was for Graham Arnold when he brings on Redmayne for Ryan to get us to the World Cup 4 years ago. You know, unfortunately, Matty Ryan didn't make the stop. And people will say, perhaps with some validity, that, you know, Paddy Beach makes a big save, end of normal time, his confidence is up, he's had a great World Cup, why make the change? But for all you know, they've gone through simulations in training for, you know, 2 months, and everything that they're seeing suggests that Matty Ryan's the better penalty stopper. He's got lots of experience, that he's fourth World Cup, knows all about those situations. And perhaps that's everything, all their information was telling them. The same way that their data told them Patrick Beach was the better goalkeeper for this World Cup over Matty Ryan, which was a crazy decision for all of us at the time when it happened, but it worked out really well. So again, I think you've got to just trust the coaching staff based on what they've been able to see, because, you know, there are several occasions where it's worked out superbly for the Socceroos at this World Cup. Unfortunately, the gamble did not pay off in the shootout.
Harry Suter and Lucas Harrington missed penalties. Harrington's 18 years of age. He's been a revelation at this tournament. Harry Suter, for mine, best player on the pitch today from an Australian perspective. It's such an inexact science of getting your penalties, who takes them. Like, people in my life are like, why are our defenders taking a penalty? You know, when you've got striking talents who didn't get to the spot. As I say, an inexact science. How would you analyse it?
Again, you know, there's validity in those criticisms. You know, why are centre-backs taking penalties, especially our first, when you've got someone like Aidan Rustic, who, you know, is a cultured striker of the ball, who hasn't taken one. But again, they would have practiced these situations in training. Of course, it's not the same situation. You can't replicate the pressure. But, you know, Harry Suter is not someone who's impacted by pressure. And if they've done penalty shootout situations, you know, 3 to 5 times, and that is the information that they got, then fair enough. And I can't imagine they would have just plucked those names out of thin air. I can't imagine that, you know, there are players who said, no, I'm not taking one, and they've thrown an 18-year-old to the Wolves. I'd be very surprised if that was the case. I dare say this is done via simulation and again, the data that they've got. But of course, it's surprising when you've got two centre-backs taking them. And unfortunately for those boys, it didn't work out. Suter's got the experience. Harrington's got the composure. But they sent their penalties over the bar. That's what happens.
And a couple of exhales. And it's Harrington. And he's hit the crossbar.
There are far better players than them in the history of world football who have missed penalties. Roberto Baggio in the penalty shootout in 1994, one of the greatest Italian players of all time, as they lost a shootout in that World Cup final. So you spare them the criticism, it's just the way it goes, but I agree with you on Suter. Not only was he Australia's best today, he was Australia's best throughout this tournament, and I think there's a fair claim now that after Tim Cahill, he's Australia's greatest ever World Cup performer, such has been his contribution 4 years ago in Qatar and again at this World Cup, where he's been absolutely flawless.
Another massive name wasn't able to make an impact on this game in the second half, at least. Jordy Boss, injured, carried up the tunnel, didn't look like he could put any weight on his left leg.
Jordy trying to turn his man and does so. Can't beat the second defender, goes down.
Hate to see it, a guy on the cusp of his career exploding, going down like that. How significant was it for what transpired in this game?
We actually seemed to deal with it far better than anyone thought. I mean, as his Bage, I thought really lifted in the second half. It's almost as if he said, all right, Geordie's not there. I'm the experienced man. I need to give us more going forward. I thought his reaction was superb. And Kai Truan came on the right-hand side for Boss, almost gets caught out at the start of the second half. And if Mamouche puts that away, it's game over, 2-0. But he gets a reprieve, and then I thought he settled really well defensively. So the impact of Boss not being there was not as significant as we thought it would be. But we hope it's nothing severe. Hopefully it's not the dreaded ACL and it's just a hyperextension or something like that. It looked to be something of that nature, and he can recover in a reasonable amount of time and go on to great things, which we know he's capable of and we've seen at this World Cup. But I thought Australia dealt with what seemed like a devastating blow as well as they possibly could, considering the quality of Jordy Boss.
This is an exceedingly young Socceroos side, the second youngest ever to go to a Football World Cup. Did you feel like you saw maturity beyond the years in this performance, and does it give you a lot of confidence for what comes next?
It should do. I think there's going to be huge excitement around this team over the next 4 years leading into the next World Cup. If you look at, you know, the key contributors and the big talents, I mean, Iran Kunda's, you know, still in the infancy of his career. The same for Lucas Harrington. Mo Touré's got levels to go to. You know, I didn't think he had the World Cup that he's capable of after starting ever so well against Turkey. We've spoken about Jordy Boss, Gianfranco Ciccardi, Patrick Beech now, who was brilliant. Paul Lokon Engsler in the centre of midfield. Aidan O'Neill's, you know, still got another big World Cup ahead of him. I thought he was Australia's second best performer across this tournament after Harry Suter. So the core of this team has still got a peak to come, the apex for them, if you like. That being said, they did seem very calm and mature throughout this World Cup. I thought we played some really nice football. Our defensive acumen, as we thought it would be, was at a really high level. They were capable of winning a knockout game. They really were. They had their chances against Egypt. Unfortunately, penalties went against us. But I think they'll learn from this. And yeah, will Tony Popovich be there in 4 years' time? Who knows what can transpire? He's signed on for the next Asian Cup, and then we'll see. But there are other coaches in Australian football who can, you know, take this team forward if he decides he wants to do something else. But you know, he's certainly got command of this group, and they seem to respond to him. There is huge talent there and plenty more to come as well. That's the exciting thing. And you know, let's not forget, Riley McGree wasn't at this World Cup. Lewis Miller, who was the nailed-on right wing-back, wasn't there either through injury. So there are a couple of big players missing as well. Right now, we just think about what could have been, but no doubt over the next 4 years, there's going to be significant interest in the Socceroos and what they can do in Portugal, Spain and Morocco.
We've just heard from Jackson Irvine on the pitch, emotional.
Penalties is a cruel way to lose, but anybody who's got the confidence to step up and take that ball after 120 minutes, it takes a big heart, and I hope they, you know, everyone stays behind them and they get all the support. We've said from the beginning that we're a champion team. That's our strength. Our strength is in the team. It's not about any player.
It was such an interesting game, Garby. There were frustrating elements from an Australian perspective. The Uruguayan referee, I don't know that any one decision was egregious, but it didn't feel like a controlled or a consistent performance. Egypt were very good with the dark arts in slowing us down, frustrating us, trying to milk penalties when they had the opportunity. When you look at Mo Salah and his capacity to grow into the game, it was something of a I don't know if masterclass is too strong a word, but it was slick and professional, wasn't it?
Yeah, I thought we actually played quite nicely in that first half. They got that early goal, which was less than ideal, but it gave us time to still grow into the game. They got the big chance early in the second, but I thought we had the better of them in the second half. I thought we really had it on our own terms, and history was there for the taking for Australia. There were some really solid performers. You know, we seemed to have control of the game in midfield. We seemed calm. Again, Suto immense at the back. Huge save by Paddy Beach late on. He's going the wrong way. And he just gets that left hand to it. But they were frustrating us, of course. The constant time wasting when they were 1-0 up.
We're getting absolutely nothing from this Uruguayan referee, that's for sure.
It was an issue, but we kept our composure throughout. And then the equaliser, I thought it rattled them. They didn't really know how to approach it after that. Aidan O'Neill, brilliant ball. As I said, he's had a magnificent tournament. The presence of Suter for our equaliser causes them to panic, and we get the own goal. And Salah was clearly not 100%, but they leave him out there and he starts because he's, you know, their greatest ever sports person just about. So that was always likely to happen. And then he hangs in there for the shootout and puts one in because, you know, that's what Mo Salah does. But he clearly, in any other situation, you remove his name from the equation and Mo Salah isn't there. He's probably off after 65 minutes, but they just leave him out there because of his presence. And, you know, if it gets to penalties and it paid off for them and, yeah, it's very hard to take for an Australian right now because we had periods of that game where we were in control and we had them rattled despite their dark arts. So, it's a big shame.
Panenka-ish, that penalty from Salah. Just a word on Patrick Beach because I feel like he deserves more than we've given him. My days, Garby, 93rd minute, reflex save like that.
Artia with a flick, delivered well.
Hard to think of a better World Cup save from a keeper.
Well, the thought went through everyone's head, this is in. And I remember thinking, you know, Australia were hanging on throughout those last 5 to 10 minutes of normal time because, you know, we dominated the second half and we were just out on our feet. And then it was like, all right, we just need to get through it extra time now because we haven't made the most of our opportunity and they're having a little go at us late. And I did think this is a Francesco Totti moment coming up. You know, they're going to get something here and they're going to put us away before extra time like Italy did in 2006. And as that ball was careering towards goal, I think everyone had the thought for a millisecond, this is in, because Paddy Beach is going the wrong way. And it just looks like it's going to evade him, the ball. But him to stick out his left hand like that and tip it over the bar was a magical save. Unfortunately, we didn't get the ultimate reward from it, but, you know, what a decision that was by Tony Popovich, what a tournament he's had. You know, he's 23 years of age. I understand there's an agreement with a European club, probably in Belgium, that was made before the World Cup to take him there. It wouldn't shock if we get news of that in the coming days now that the World Cup's over. He's got a big future ahead of him, but things can change very, very quickly for so many of our players. We said that 4 years ago when Garen Kuol almost sent us to extra time. Against Argentina and then wasn't seen again. Hasn't been seen again for the Socceroos really because he struggled to get his career going in Europe. So things can change massively, but it's been a tournament to remember from him in crazy circumstances when he was picked in a situation that shocked everyone for their first game against Turkey.
Tony Popovich on the coverage right now speaking about just how proud he is of this group.
Yeah, I think we showed the world that Australian football is strong. A wonderful group. Yeah, just devastated for them that we can't progress.
The only other question around Tony Popovich, he's been clear that he goes with his gut. He's never going to admit that he's necessarily got anything wrong. But if he had his time again, do you think he'd potentially start Toure and Iran Kunda together in this game?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't think he'll regret anything. He looks at things with deep analysis, and it's all based on the opponent and the conditioning of players. And it feels like something was up with Mo Touré after that first half against the USA. He doesn't start the next game or against, you know, Egypt in this one. So, yeah, it's a hard one to take. You know, once more, he's someone who backs himself and is not too concerned what other people think of his decisions. And the best managers do that. And he played under a manager in Gus Hiddink who was a gambler as well, who was ready to take off Mark Schwarzer for Zeljko Kalac in 2005. And then Schwarzer becomes an Australian hero for the ages. And, you know, that almost never came to be. You know, let's not forget, Gus Hiddink didn't make a sub before the end of full time because he wanted extra time against Italy. We had a one-man advantage and Italy scores late. That didn't pay off. But then he made other gambles that were enormous for Australia, bringing on Harry Kuehl for Tony Popovich in 2005, and it changes that game against Uruguay. Tony Popovich learnt from all of that. He's made some gambles here that have paid off hugely. Bichon, Okon Engsler starting, and then others that will be criticised, but he understands the way it goes. He has, as we've said before, just command of the position, command of the players. Yes, his style of football is not captivating. It is largely defensive-based, but it also kept Australia in games and ensured that we were always a chance to threaten the opposition because we were so strong defensively. There's different ways to play the game, and the Tony Popovich way has been very successful for a long period of time. Next up is the Asian Cup, and hopefully Australia can do something special at that tournament, and we'll wait and see what happens for the next World Cup phase. But I think Australian fans should be comfortable and certainly pleased with the way in which Tony Popovich has led this team at a World Cup. I think he's got just about the most out of them. But this was winnable, and that's the hard thing to take.
Heartbreak today for Socceroos fans across the country. Cause for optimism, I think it's fair to say, with the talent we've got and the youth that we've got as we look ahead. Daniel Garb, thanks for covering us throughout the tournament. Appreciate it.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks to Gubby for that. As we mentioned, we wanted this in your feed ASAP. So we will be back with Socceroos legend Mark Schwarzer later in the day to analyse it all further. I mean, I'm fascinated to hear his take on the Patrick Beach, Matt Ryan substitution, on the penalties full stop. There are literally few more qualified people globally to break it down. This episode was produced by Declan Byrne. Great to have your company. Thanks to SBS for the extra audio used in this episode.